17 minutes to go before 5 o'clock here on a steamy Tuesday. On Downtown, time to talk wine with Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. It's Message in the Bottle time. Welcome, sir.
Hello. By the way, I want to tell everybody out there in Radio Land that these guys, it's not nearly as bad as they're making it out in here. Out there, it's awful. It's just atrocious. I wouldn't want to be out there, but it's pretty nice in here.
Oh, it's minty fresh here in the studio.
Yeah. I've been in a lot of sort of professional buildings recently wherein the AC is sporadic at best. So this is pretty good.
No,
Steve faces bills. That's good.
Yeah, this is meat locker level at times in here, but we'll take it today.
That's fine. I remember your old studio was perpetually 97 degrees, but not the humidity. It is the humidity. This is making people dumb. I mean, honestly,
it is.
Even if you're like in your car and you have your air conditioning cranked, like you're still semi-stupid because of the change in humidity. You're just fogged all day. We'll make it through. So we missed last week, unfortunately, because, Rich is getting older and he's having all sorts of pains that we all associate with that.
He's breaking down.
That's right. So he had to get to the mechanic, and the mechanic did his, undercarriage. And I guess he's back. So we missed the last day of Spain, but Spain is still there. We'll catch it next year.
All right.
But we're going to move on to Italy. And as do people know the happy occasion today?
I don't know. I was going to mention it later.
I brought some bubbles today. So since we're doing Italy and since we're going to do Northern Italy, I figured we had to do Prosecco, and we had to do Prosecco or some sort of bubbles because it is Rich's anniversary.
Yes.
Yes. His wife has had him now for 8 years.
Yes. She has tolerated him for eight years.
So we're doing a Prosecco and sort of the a bunch of Northern Italy, we'll talk all about the varying regions of Italy. Really quick overview about Italy. It wasn't until the mid 1800s that it started to get unified under one crown, essentially. So it's a bunch of different niches of different winemaking traditions, different grapes. Obviously different dialects, and it's all separated by this massive spine of the Apennine Mountains in the middle of it. So even sort of east to west, there was limited contact until you start to get down sort of into Umbria and things like that. But that's a pretty sparsely populated part of Italy, certainly much less so than around the coasts. Where the majority of the wine is made, and of course the majority of tourism and all sorts of other population-oriented things. So, as I said, today we're going to sort of hit most of Northern Italy, leaving Piedmont for next week. As we're starting with Prosecco, we'll sort of start on the west coast, right? So the city of Venice, of course, beautiful Venice, slowly sinking, / sea levels rising, so get there while you can. It's lovely. Although one of the best comments I've ever had was somebody returned a bottle of Pinot Grigio that we had special ordered. We had gotten two bottles of it, and they came in. They said, boy, this just didn't really taste as good as the first time we had it. I said, when the first time you had it? He said, well, we were sitting on the Grand Canal in Venice, sipping it. It's really lovely. I'm like, probably.
Well, and it didn't live up
you
to
hope,
that.
You hope to recreate that at home, huh? That's charming. I mean, maybe. I mean, you might have a really spectacular home.
Wow, yeah.
Really, but of course, the sparkling wine, Prosecco, made primarily out of a grape that used to be called Prosecco, but is now internationally referred to as Glera, G-L-E-R-A, is obviously the massive produced wine in this region of the Veneto. Prosecco can be produced a couple of different ways, spumante, which is sparkling, frizzante, which is sort of semi-sparkling, and then tranquillo, which is basically still, and that all depends on the perlage, the little bubbles that they put in there. And how do the bubbles get in there? We should talk a little bit about that. We've talked about method champenoise, and we had a cava a couple of weeks ago, which was done in the same style as champagne, right? So that's a very time-consuming method, and it used to be very labor-intensive as well. Although they are now modern mechanical shortcuts to do a lot of that. But Prosecco and a lot of the other sparkling wines that you may have had that are less expensive are done in a style that's a little bit different, called the Cremant method. And that is the Charmat, not Cremant. I'm thinking of the Burgundy tasting. That's we'll talk about that in a bit. The Charmat method. And it's a single, it's still a two-stage fermentation process, but it basically happens in a tank, not in a in the bottle itself. So they ferment the wine, and it's a still wine. Again, just like the champagnes and the cavas and everything, the wine when it's still is still reasonably sharp and acidic and focused. But then they basically just force bubbles in it, and it bubbles in the tank. And that's the secondary fermentation. It goes through that, and then they just put it in bottles. So the bubbles are still sort of in solution, and then it goes right into that bottle and is bubbly when you pop it. Slightly different bubbles, I guess, than you see in champagne. Tends to be a little bit bigger, but it doesn't really matter. It's delicious. Now, the Prosecco we're having today is obviously not just made out of a white grape, because it is a rosé Prosecco. So it's important to know that you can have up to 15% of other grapes besides Glera in Prosecco. the red grape that was used in this one is Pinot Noir. You're allowed to use that. You can also use Pinot Grigio, Pinot Bianco, Chardonnay. And then some of the other local sort of snappier white varietals that don't often get bottled, in single varietal form or anything like that, at least nothing that makes it out of the country, really. But it's absolutely fabulous. You are starting to see some Proseccos that are single vineyard, some that are from they have two designated smaller appellation areas that are acknowledged for finer Prosecco. The one that you probably have seen more readily is Conegliano Valdobbiadene. I'm having trouble. Wow. See, it's the heat. I can't speak Italian anymore. But the other one that you'll see is Asolo Prosecco Superiore. But both of those are generally acknowledged to be, at least legally by the Italian government, superior versions of Prosecco. And as I said, you will see some single vineyard Proseccos as well. They're still not very expensive, which is really cool. I mean, you're talking about high teens, maybe low 20s now. So it's a great deal, given that, other sparkling wines can run significantly more. And frankly, in my opinion, I mean, that's a good thing, because as we just sort of mentioned, it does not cost nearly as much to make it. So I don't think it should cost as much to buy it. I've noticed that Prosecco has slowly risen to at least the price of some of the cavas out there, and that kind of bothers me because, as we discussed, cava more difficult to make. So the Veneto, that's really what you're getting there. A couple of other regions that I kind of want to talk about while we still have a little time. So north of the Veneto, you see Friuli, and Friuli shares a border with Slovenia, and you see a lot of wonderful Pinot Grigios from both sides of the river, because, of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, you really want sort of the south-southwest-facing vineyards to really catch the sun. And so as the river bends and winds its way down that Slovenian border, depending on which side has that, you're going to see vineyards facing the sun. The other thing that's happening in Friuli, which is really cool, is Bordelaise-style wines, Cabernet Francs, Merlots, some Cab Sauvignon, that are every bit as good as stuff coming out of Bordeaux. So if you find yourself any of those, we carry one or two in the shop. They're really, really spectacular. And again, not the price of Bordeaux, which can, certainly run, 30, 40, 50 bucks. Although there are some in Friuli that are the problem is the Spectator, right? Like, once you start getting in Wine Spectator, all of a sudden your prices start to creep up. So the Friulians knew that. They started sending their stuff there, and so they can fetch some good prices, but they're well worth it. They're absolutely awesome. We get to, as we sort of work our way westward, the next sort of significant place to talk about in northern Italy is Lake Garda. Certainly we've had wines from this region, Amarones, Valpolicellas. The wine actually that we had last year during this session, which is Bianco di Custozza. Just this huge, huge chunk of vineyard land on the southern shores of this massive inland lake, which helps moderate the temperatures and makes it really, really ideal for that. And why does it need to moderate temperatures? Because the next big sort of landmass is the Alps, and that sends a lot of cool air kind of sweeping down out of that, and then it hits the water and really makes a nice area for growing a lot of different grapes. It's and none of them are anything international. They're all native grapes, by and large, that you're going to see in all these wines from that region. Of course, the Amarone, which is the very sort of heady red wine that they dry the grapes in rooftop drying rooms, and it creates this incredibly sort of unctuous wine, all the way down to the little tart reds that you can get. They're just absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, moving towards the Alps, we have the Alto Adige region in Trentino. This is where you also get some absolutely sublime Pinot Grigios, some Pinot Noirs, the wonderful grape Teraldego, which is kind of like a Pinot Noir meets a Syrah, but still lighter and kind of spicy. So absolutely fantastic stuff from that part of the world. I encourage anybody who's kind of done with Chardonnay to try some of the grapes from up there, because they're really, really approachable. So I'm running out of time.
Yeah. These, by the way, are some delightful bubbles.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Well, you know.
Yeah, very good.
I don't bring junk to you. I would never do that to you.
You got to trick us one day, right?
Someday I'll bring you Franzia. I'll bring in a box of Franzia and just say that's what we're doing. Please, folks, I do want to mention before I go, this Thursday, Guy Chamon, the Burgundy producer, he's been at it for years and years and years. He's one of the first people in Burgundy who really started doing biodynamic farming. He's going to be, in fact, if you like bubbles, you're going to be seeing more bubbles than still wine, because we're showing off his Cremant de Bourgogne, I always get Cremant and Charmat method screwed up, but Cremant de Bourgogne, which is done in the same method as Champagne, and then his Rouge Boule, which is this fun little Gamay Pinot Noir bubbly thing, and then his White Cremant and his Rosé Cremant, so two Cremants, and then Chardonnay from Givry and a red Bourgogne Pinot Noir. So absolutely fantastic stuff. Do come and try that. And then on the 16th of this month, so next week, is our monthly tasting. And that will be TBA, because I need to figure that out. We're either going to do Italian wines, or I'm going to bring in a special guest and do something cool. But I'll bet next Tuesday, if you listen to this segment, I'll be able to tell you by then. And if not, But anyway, happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. And cheers. Before we go,
yes,
great time at the Demolition Derby.
Always a great time at the Demolition Derby. I mean, my gosh, it's primal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that if my wife had a chance, she would do it. And just get pop in one of those cars.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, it was really cute. There was a little boy right in front of us whose dad was in one of the cars. There was two cars with Smurf themes, oddly enough. And he was in one of them. And man, it was fun. Because I mean, I can't imagine watching my dad get bashed into, but he was having the time of his life. So I was having the time. I was like, hey, yeah. Smash them up.
Nice.
It's good times.
Eric Mann, Bangor Cheers. Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesdays here on Downtown. See Eric and the whole crew. 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Cheers.
Yes,
stay cool.
Yeah, I will.